We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, what's Pat doing?
So remember we heard about the golf thing that happened over the weekend with the two quarterbacks?
Yes, the
Manning and Brady.
The match two that played between Woods, Mickelson, Brady, and Manning.
Right.
The LA Times then wrote a follow-up piece that they're going to continue to do these things, and Phil Mickelson threw out maybe the want to have Patrick Mahomes involved.
That's right. This comes from UPI.com from Al Butler. No relation to Rhett.
Never heard of him.
Neither have I. Phil Mickelson wants annual match with Mahomes, Curry, and Jordan. And Al Butler tweets out, that's why people will see this story now, right? You in at Patrick Mahomes? Patrick Mahomes responds in quote tweets, I'm ready whenever.
I just want to cry.
So Patrick Mahomes is ready to roll.
I told you he'd jump at it.
He is. Of course he'll jump at it. Meanwhile, somewhere Brett Veach is scrambling going, yeah.
Tommy didn't get hurt. Tommy played golf. He ripped his pants and moved on. I mean, it wasn't,
Yeah, that's true.
No more!
That's true. We'll see, though.
Don't overswing.
Yeah.
We saw him hammer that ball at Topgolf, right? Was he?
That's right. What's his name was rolling out the balls for him there?
Garrig?
Garrig Dieter. Yeah, he was there like hitting the button to send the balls out.
There you go, Mr. Mahomes.
So, yeah, and Mahomes is like crushing ball after ball after ball.
Stuff like
that
this
would
happens,
be fun
bro.
To watch. That would be fun to watch. As good as, you know, Manning is as a personality, Tom Brady, whatever. I'd watch, obviously, because of Patrick Mahomes. So if he's ready to rock and roll – you got some time here. You need to get a date about this time next year, maybe, and do it.
Next week. I mean,
oh, yeah, that's true. You could do it next week.
What are you guys doing?
I mean, yeah, that is true. Hey, Turner, you want? Yes, we'll be there.
Yeah.
We'll bring Charles.
Yeah. Phil, Tiger, you guys got anything going? No, not yet. We should probably just go ahead and play this now.
Yeah, let's go.
That would be the time.
That
to do
is
it.
True. Good point, Josh. We really don't have much to plan around.
Why do we
these
have to
days?
Wait a year to do this,
right?
I don't understand why that would be the case.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. It's fantastic that we are going to see maybe this happen. I think it'll be great. And you're right. Don't waste days. You've got time now for a captive audience. And you want to continue that number because I still maintain if baseball's going on, if the NBA playoffs are going on, and hockey's going on, and you stage that golf match on Sunday, it's a blip on the radar screen. But because it was a standalone event, that's why everybody was involved in it. And if you're golf, if you're the PGA, you know, the governing body of golf, and you want to continue to move your sport forward and get more eyeballs on your sport, even though it doesn't really involve, you know, the stars of your sport except for Phil and Tiger, and you're not really utilizing anybody else, but you're still getting people to watch the sport of golf, you probably want to speed this thing up as quickly as you possibly can, too, and get Patrick Mahomes out there on the course.
The Chiefs have provided the but to the rest of the NFL. Case in point, one Terrell Davis. He appeared on the Rich Eisen show, and he likes what his Broncos have done this offseason. He really likes what his Broncos have done. But
man, I'm pretty excited about what Denver looks like this year. And but it's got to play out, man. You're in that division with Kansas City, so points have to. You got to go out there and be a team that's the end of defense will be good. But I think to kind of come back what Kansas City is doing. You got to have an offense.
I love the points. you just chuckled like, hey, you got to score, man.
Do you, though? Is that the way to beat the Kansas City Chiefs right now? Because I'm looking at this, and I think that is so 2018. You know, like, you could keep up and score with the Chiefs in 2018. Hell, we saw it. I mean, we saw the Rams. We saw the Patriots. We saw teams keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs. We saw the Chargers. We've seen teams keep up and score with the Kansas City Chiefs in 2018. But now, all of a sudden, this team's got a defense. And if you think you're going to counterpunch the Chiefs by going score for score with them, you're absolutely 100% dead wrong. And you're trying to beat the Chiefs based on, again, perception that they don't have a defense that can stop anybody. Well, since that Tennessee Titan game and since that game in Mexico City against the Chargers, the Kansas City Chiefs have been one of the better defenses in the NFL and finished 7 in scoring this year. You add Willie Gay in, a whole season now under Steve Spagnuolo with all the talent that was brought in last year. You're going to have a defense that is going to be reckoned with, and a defense, quite honestly, that has created the nobody believes in us mantra right now, where they're all saying we got to get better, we can get better, we can get better. And if they're saying that coming off a season where they were 7th in the NFL in scoring and they get better, trying to build your team to go score for score with the Kansas City Chiefs is absolutely ridiculous because you're not going to be able to do that. I still think the best way to try to beat the Kansas City Chiefs is to slow the game down, possess the football, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, keep the clock running, and keep Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines. I don't think it's to try to go score for score. And that's what the Denver Broncos, that's what the Oakland Raiders, that's what the Los Angeles Chargers, that's what those three teams have tried to do this past offseason, was load up on offense to try to go score for score with the Chiefs, and you're just not going to be able to do that with the defense playing at the level that it is right now. Like, right now, it's got to be frustrating as hell to try to game plan and beat the Chiefs because you just can't.
But from, like, a Broncos perspective, you can say you can defend all you want. You scored 17 points a game last year. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to win that. I mean, you can
say that for the 14 other games you have. You know, we got to get better on offense, but I mean, beating the Chiefs.
From a Broncos perspective, I mean, they're in the bottom third of scoring last year. Like, yeah. You're not going to beat the Chiefs playing that game. You have to a certain extent, get into an arms race with them, knowing they score 29 a game or whatever. You have to figure out a way, well, even if I'm on my best day, we're only scoring 17, guys. We got to do better than this. So I think that there is a dynamic. You don't sell out one side or another. I'm not saying that. But if you're the Broncos, you're like, yeah, we had a pretty good defense, but we only scored 17 a game. We can't win that game with the Chiefs.
I mean, people keep forgetting that the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And as a quarterback head coach combo in this league, that's deadly. That is a deadly, deadly combo that I don't know that anyone can match up with right now. Maybe Peyton and Breeze, but Breeze at the end of his career, okay? So other than that, I don't know that there's another head coach quarterback combo that is so deadly. So you can add all the weapons you want. It goes still back to that quarterback position. Do you have a magician? Do you have a guy that can make plays? Do you have a guy that can make plays when the plays aren't there? And do you have a guy that can lead you to wins like Patrick Mahomes does, the most clutch quarterback in the National Football League?
Well, that's not to say there's not. I mean, the Chiefs were 5th in scoring, so that's not to say other teams haven't been able to score.
Well, remember, Mahomes did miss 3 games.
Other teams can score, so you have to play that. But I'm just saying, if you're trying to attack the Chiefs, you can't just say, well, I'm just going to give up because I can't score with them. Well, no, you look at around the NFL, and no, you can score with them. It's not the best approach to do it. And then if you're the Broncos, you have to take a massive step in your offense to even contend, because if you're like, if we're scoring 17 a game, we ain't holding the Chiefs to 16 and winning a game. The all likelihood of that, it ain't happening. So we've got
to. But the Colts and Texans both did that earlier in the year.
We do have to beef up our offense if we're going to make a run at these guys.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying, like I said, you don't sell out for that one side of things. But if you're other teams in the division, you go, well, we got to do something different because they're at the top of the heap scoring and they're really good. So if we limit them, can we score enough? That still is the big question. Can you, even if we limit them and play our best day defensively, can we score enough to beat them? And some teams are going, no, we can't.
Right.
We're scoring 17 a game. We're not beating them 17-16. It's just not happening.
Not happening. Not happening. But the one key that they fail that they're missing and realizing that they're missing is that dynamic play caller and quarterback. I mean, the other teams just don't have that.
This guy's yelling about baseball, and it's fantastic. We'll hear him next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
I was not aware who Jimmy Randazzo was until yesterday, and I might need to know more at some point in time. But
still really not clear on who he is.
No, yeah, we're really not who he is, but now we know of him.
From something called The Sports Chill. But he's...
I'm sorry, what?
The Sports Chill.
Okay.
He doesn't take his own advice. He's not chilling about sports.
No, he's definitely not chilling.
In this instance, he's not very happy, though, with Major League Baseball players, and he'll tell you why.
Good afternoon. There's a reason why I'm wearing this Yogi Berra jersey. He went to war for this nation.
That's right.
Same with DiMaggio. Mm-hmm. And now we have guys like Blake Snell refusing to play with everything going on in the world. In this pandemic. Absolutely embarrassing. That's and then people have the gall to blame Rob Manfred when the MLB Players Association are all full of crooks. And if you don't want to play, replace them. Hey, Blake Snell, you don't want to play? Triple A, bring him up. Replace him. TheSportsChill.com. Fire, fire, fire.
SportsChill.com. So you can get more of Jimmy.
That's right.
There, I wanted to make sure I left the plug in there for
Jimmy
him.
Jimmy loves to yell.
The plug is good.
Jimmy's wearing a Yogi Berra jersey. Jimmy likes DiMaggio.
There's a reason I'm
Jimmy
wearing
does not
Yogi
like Blake
Berra
Snell.
Jersey.
My dad is a Yogi Berra jersey. It was his favorite player as a kid growing up. We got him a Yogi Berra jersey.
I almost wore my
dad's
Ted
in
Williams.
His 70s.
I almost wore a Ted Williams jersey today in honor of Jimmy, but I didn't.
In honor of Jimmy Randazzo?
Yeah, because Ted Williams went off and fought in two wars for this country.
Did.
Two wars, Bob.
Two wars. All right. I give it to you. You go out and you fight two wars. That's pretty darn good. But I understand what he's saying. I've been saying that all along. And again, I don't have a problem if you don't want to play, right? If we come to an agreement and Mike Trout feels like he doesn't want to play, then Mike Trout doesn't have to play. I don't have to miss Mike Trout. I don't have to care that Mike Trout's not playing. I don't have to think about Mike Trout when he comes back. I don't have to pretend that I knew he was gone the prior year. Like, if Mike Trout or Gerrit Cole, those are the two names that are out there right now of guys that are like, I'm not playing. Okay, great. That's fine. That's your prerogative. You're not getting a check. And I'm not going to lose sleep over the fact that you're not playing. I think... Like, where baseball is a provincial sport where you root for your team, those two guys not playing doesn't really hurt the game all that much. Now, if this is the NFL and Patrick Mahomes and, let's say, Deshaun Watson both said they weren't going to play, well, then we got ourselves a different story here. We may need to figure out a way to get those guys worked in and to allow those guys to play because the NFL is a star-dominated national brand sports. And without Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, boy, your game is not going to be as good.
Now,
Mike Trout and Gerrit Cole missing an 82-game season, I don't lose any sleep over that. And quite honestly, wouldn't even know they're gone.
Now, you said if there's an agreement and they choose not to play.
That's right, yeah.
That's a different down the road, like the cans down the road.
If they're going to have to answer to it next year for all the contemporaries.
Yeah, well, sure. But if they're right now, they can say they're not playing.
Yeah.
There's no agreement.
Right.
So I don't have a problem with them negotiating. I'd rather they didn't all negotiate in public and whatever. But they are, and it's good for us, right? It's good for business. But he has every right to do that now. If it comes to it, and if it comes to an agreement, and he passes, he has the right to do that as well. But they're not even to that phase now,
right?
And I'm telling you, they won't be to that phase.
No, they will. They will get something done, and everybody will be playing.
This is, and I think I heard Cody say this yesterday. I'm like, yeah, I felt like it was absolutely right. Like the NFL negotiation that happened, right? What did we hear right away?
Not happening.
Aaron Rodgers. Shouldn't do this, guys. Shouldn't do this. J.J. Watt, shouldn't do this, guys. Shouldn't do this. And what happened? Well, there was a little bit of divide and conquer. And this is going on with baseball as well.
Well, because at the end of the day, you have a lot of guys that are making lower-end money versus the Gerrit Coles
and
Mike Trouts.
The lower-end monies who aren't taking as big a cut will have more of a voice in this than the upper-level guys. And the upper-level guys aren't going to walk away. They're not going to walk away. They're going to play their season. So I'm not really worried about that. They can choose to not do it if they have a lot of fears to do. But when that agreement is worked out with baseball, everybody's going to play.
Sure. I believe
I'd be terribly surprised if someone says, you know what, I'm just not going to do it.
Right. And if that now, person chooses not to, again, that's fine. But I'm not going to miss you.
I think
I didn't really know you.
I think where you would have opposition, I feel like we're past, which is putting everybody in a bubble.
Right.
Right? Now there are some leagues still discussing this. Basketball still discussing it. Soccer still discussing it. Obviously, if you have the hub cities, they're still – but it seems like those things are solving. Like, you're not going to be pushed away from your family.
Right.
Your family's going to have the opportunity to go with you to these places.
And both Mike Trout and Garrett Cole have wives that are pregnant that are due in August. And
yes.
So they obviously – they're not going into a bubble to not be there for their birth.
Once you got past that portion of it, everybody – They're gonna eventually fall in line. They're gonna work out the dollars and they're gonna fall in line and they're gonna do it. I thought the biggest opportunity for players to say I'm not doing this was the separation aspect of it, and we've seemingly gotten past that point.
Right.
So if that's not an issue, it comes down to money. It's gonna work out. They're gonna come to an agreement, and Mike Trout's gonna play.
Right.
As long as, you know, the health and safety part is taken care of, which I believe that's not the argument, that once the agreement is worked out, however it's worked out, they're going to play. Or there won't be an agreement. Right?
Yeah.
But once there's an agreement, no one's going to say, well, you know what? I'm not doing
it. Well, you still may have somebody do that. I mean, if Mike Trout.
I doubt it.
I would like to believe that. But if ultimately they do come to a divide and conquer where the lower level guys are like, hey, I'm voting for this. I want to play. I need the money.
Is Aaron Rodgers not playing this season?
No, he's playing.
Right.
Yeah,
is J.J. Watt
playing.
Not playing this season?
No, he's playing.
Okay, those are the two vocal, right?
Right.
Breeze might have been one of them, too. I don't remember.
Right. But their salaries aren't being affected.
They're all playing. Right. And baseball's going to – they're going to end up playing. They are.
Yes. And I think you're ultimately right about that. But, again, it's not like I need Mike Trout to watch a baseball game. Maybe I see him six times a year, home and away with the Angels. And where we are this year, we're not going to see Mike Trout at all. And we're not going to see Garrett Cole at all this year. And if those guys ultimately don't want to play, so be it. It's no skin off my back. And for most of baseball fans anyway, we don't really know who you are.
Witt wasn't really happy with how this has all gone down. We'll discuss that and a little beers with the boys next.
Replace them!
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We were discussing the public nature that is right now baseball. Baseball presenting their plan, wants you to take a bunch of pay cuts, blah, blah, blah.
The best thing to do is do this in front of the public.
Yeah, and then the players
next week, everybody saddle up on a side.
You know who'll like to see this? The American public, who's reached unemployment levels very high right now.
That's right.
Let's go ahead and bitch about millions of dollars.
We'll take no pay cut and play more games.
Right.
No one wants more games.
No one wants more games.
And bring it to you, baseball.
82 sounds good permanently.
82 sounds awesome. But even Whit Merrifield, Royals outfielder, who stopped by Cody and Gold yesterday, says the public nature of this isn't what he feels like the players intended.
Well, it's extremely frustrating, Cody. That's another point that needs to be made. Is this was not our goal to have this public, because, one, it is a game that we play, and as fans should just be concerned with the game and watching the game and enjoying the game and rooting for your team. It's up to us to handle the business behind the scenes. There's an ugly side of the business to this game, and that's, you know, kind of what we're going through now. And we never wanted this to be public, but obviously there's a strategic element to the other side as far as making it public, to sort of put pressure on players and sort of turn fans against players. And so it's just an unfortunate, business strategy. But, it's frustrating that it is all public, because it's something that needs to be handled behind closed doors, because negotiations are, you know, kind of an ugly process. And I really wish all this would have been done privately. It would have made for a much smoother much through their talks, in my opinion.
So he clearly throws it on the other side, saying, hey, they were throwing stuff out there to put the pressure on us,
right?
Like, to make us be the bad guy. I'm sure if you ask the other side, they'd say the same thing. I think none of it works, right?
But ultimately, it's pitted fans against baseball. It hasn't pitted fans siding with the players or fans siding with the owners. It's made us all mad at baseball in general. Nobody is winning in this right now.
No, it's just driving you to drink.
Right, which is what we're going to do.
Good news is, it is time to drink. It is time for Beers of the Boys, powered by Standard Beverage and Free State Brewing with us today. Jeff Demon joins us. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Are you able to open up the pub yet?
We are planning on opening on Wednesday of next week, so the 3rd.
Well, that is good, and I know the beer is still flowing for you guys because, you know, the stores are kind of crowded right now, especially the liquor stores, and right now we got a couple in front of us that you guys are featuring right now. Of course, the Yakamaniac IPA is where we're starting right now, and I can just smell the hops.
Usually
in this one, man.
Start and end here.
And yeah. Yakamaniac is one that I think everybody really, really loves. What's the reason why you guys are featuring this one at this point in time?
Well, that's definitely our number one seller. It's one of those that, unfortunately, it's not available in grocery, but it is available at your local retailers. It's available in grocery on the Missouri side, but not on the Kansas side. But, it's just a great IPA that is kind of approachable to everybody from the beer geek to somebody that's just starting with IPAs. So, I'm really proud of that beer. Actually had answered an email yesterday. There's some guys that are homebrewers, and in their neighborhood, they're doing a Yakamaniac contest to see who can homebrew the closest approximation to Yakamaniac. And one of the guys wanted to get tips. That's pretty cool.
Did you know this guy, or did he just call you out of the blue?
He just emailed us, and I was happy to share some tidbits.
Hey, that is a brilliant move by his part.
The brewers are so nice, too, right?
That's right.
The brewing community is so nice.
I'll help you out.
Of course you'd share it.
So, Jeff, you've been on the show for many years now. We've got a really good relationship with you guys and Standard Beverage, obviously, in Free State. And you said something there that kind of made me go, really? You said for the new IPA drinkers, are we still coming across a lot of people who are finding IPAs for the first time? Because I feel like we've been talking about new IPA drinkers for a long time now.
Well, you're right. I mean, I think we have a very informed public these days with craft beer. It's not like the days when I first started when people were, thumbing their noses at bitterness and
right.
hops. And, we've come a long way in that respect. But, there are new drinkers that are, coming into drinking age at all times, and
true.
There's a lot of interest in there and other flavors, and so it's always good to expose people to products that they haven't experienced before, and some people haven't experienced IPAs, so
yeah. And I think my first experience, and this is going to go back in the Wayback Machine for us, was 1998, the first time I went out to Colorado with a friend of mine, and we were driving around and allegedly helping his mother move. I don't think we moved anything. We just went to Colorado for a couple of days. And we're driving around, and we're going from bar to bar to bar, and we're like, man, what is all of this beer? We just want a light beer.
I've never heard of it.
I never heard of it. We were so happy to get a light beer. And so that's when I had my first experience, into the IPA, into the craft beer world, was out there in Colorado. And to think where it's come since 1998 to where we are now, that's why I was just kind of like, wow, yeah, we probably still do have people that are kind of wading into the IPAs. And if you are going to take a leap into the craft beer world and you've never been there before, what you guys do from top to bottom with every one of your products is a fantastic way to get into that craft beer industry or into the craft beer world.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I think you might have our Free State Lager there,
yep.
Which, it's probably a beer that you would have wanted to gravitate towards back there in 1998. And it's just a clean, lager. It's not a light beer per se, but it does have that. I like to call it a tavern lager. You know, it's like what you want to hole up in a tavern with for a couple hours with some friends and drink several of, and or you know, honestly, it's great at barbecues, and you know, in this time of social distancing, you know, barbecues have been a godsend. You know, be able to get together with friends in your bubble and have some beers. You know,
apart. You know, they always say that the best time for alcohol is when the economy's good and when the economy's bad. So, which means always.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are you guys seeing right now from your standpoint, from Free State standpoint? How are things going with you guys?
Well, obviously, you know, we saw a big hit with draft beer because, you know, people aren't going out to restaurants. People aren't going out to bars. But, you know, we've seen an uptick in our package beer, and, you know, we're happy to see that. And we're the guys are working their tails off at the production brewery right now. And, you know, I've been trying to keep the growler public happy, you know, offering new things downtown that people can come in and get a growler to go, something unique that we don't offer in package. And, you know, we've been doing takeout at the restaurant during this time, and that's gone really well for us. So we're, you know, we're just really happy that people enjoy our products and support us. And you know, we've I think weathered the storm pretty well.
And there's a sour variety as well, Guavitas. Tell us a little bit more about this one for the sauerkraut.
Yeah, well, it's not quite sauerkraut, but it's very tropical. It has a good portion of guava puree in the recipe, and you know, it's a sour beer, so it takes a little more effort to produce. It's kind of a 2 to 3 day process as opposed to a 8 hour process that we typically have with a brew. You know, so there's a little more effort involved, but it pays off because it's really tasty. It's crisp, a little bit tart, a little bit sour, great refresher. You know, it's kind of a staple. Actually, all three of those beers are probably the biggest staples in my beer fridge at any given time. Those are the ones that. You know, we get to take a little beer home from time to time as employees, and those are the ones that I'm taking home and sharing with my wife. So,
yeah, I didn't say sauerkraut; it was sour crowd.
Yeah, it's not the same thing.
Sour crowd. Right. May have been the beer talking. I don't know. Yes, yes, yes. You know, the sour crowd was where I was going for. So the. What kinds of packs are out there now if you are able to get into your liquor store or your grocery store to pick up right now for the summer?
So we've got 12 packs of Yakimaniac, Storm Chaser, and Ad Astra. We've got mixed packs, which are just flying off the shelves. We can't keep up. And those feature a beer that is unavailable in six packs right now, 3 cans of Kolsch, which... is a beer that we brew kind of in support of an event down in Emporia called the Dirty Kansas 200. It's a bike race, dirt gravel race that riders from all over the world come for. Unfortunately, it was postponed until the fall this year. It typically takes place right around now. We've got that featured in our mixed packs. And then, you know, we have cans of Lager, Guavitas, Storm Chaser, Yakimaniac. We got a lot out there, so we're
drink
and,
up.
You know, as draft beer starts to come back, you know, we'll start to see some things like Blood Orange Rattler, and some other specialty items that folks will enjoy.
Jeff, thanks for the time. Glad to hear things are going well and getting better with each and every day, and the pub getting back open.
Yeah, I look forward to having beers in the studio next time.
Yeah, there you so go. Do we.
Beers in the studio. That's I'll do that. Jeff Thiemann of Free State Brewing.
So do I.
It is beers. Yeah.
Yeah, you haven't had beer for the last 2 months.
I've been so mad, too, because we had Torn Label come in. We had Free State come on, like two of my favorite guys we have come on, and I didn't get any other brews.
Yeah, Free State. Like, every time we talk to the guys at Free State, whether it's Jeff or whether it's Tommy, I just feel like all is right in the world, man. Like, you hear about the pub, it just feels like – that's what you're supposed to be doing, is just drinking beer at the Free State Pub, enjoying a Tuesday afternoon or whatever it is, and not worrying about anything that's going on in the world. So get yourself some beer.
It's Beers of the Boys, powered by Standard Beverage and Free State Brewing, in with us this week. It may be time to break it. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Seeing it right now, kind of every day, from the college ranks, programs being cut, sports being cut,
salaries being cut, being furloughs cut, being had.
All those things are happening around college sports. They've taken pretty good beating after losing the NCAA tournament, and now into the not even into the summer yet, but to just when school is going to be out, right?
Yeah,
for the college ranks. So things are changing in a hurry. Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports wrote a pretty interesting piece at CBSSports.com.
We could also say local man writes piece on CBSSports.com.
That is true. That is true. In which he talked to some economists and some various other like non ADs, non coaches, kind of people that were in the sphere but removed enough from college athletics, like looking at it from the outside and like, whoa. Things are going to have to change.
Right, like actual, like, smart people.
Yeah.
Not sports people, but smart people.
Smart people.
Yeah.
But that this could be a huge year ahead. We've already seen these things happen. But he talked, for instance, to an economist at the University of Utah, which was interesting to me because it's also an economist who's with a college.
Well, he's with the WAC.
Right? He's with a they're in the pack now. They're in the pack now. By the name of Ted Tatos.
I like Tatos.
Ted Tatos.
Do you, Ryan?
Let's not get the name in the way. Stop. Don't derail this thing with that. He says, quote, if there's no NCAA tournament next year, I think then there has to be a breakaway from this model, being the NCAA. You might have to get away from the NCAA. Another person he interviewed in this article by the name of Vince Thompson is the founder and CEO of a company called Melt, which is a sports and entertainment marketing firm. He says, quote, I'm telling you, if you or I were going to place a bet on a stock, you could double down on the Power Five being a separate entity now within 2 years.
Wow.
That the time could be right to break away. The economy opening up the door for the haves to really break away.
That's right. And they should break away. You and I have been talking about this for a long time now. Like, when is it going to happen? Because there's not only a divide between the Power Fives and everybody else, there's also a major divide between the Power Fives that are loaded and the other Power Fives that are just kind of there. You know, like the difference between, let's just say, Alabama and Vanderbilt or something like that. You know, there's a big divide between schools like that. I mean, the thing that really, really is difficult with college athletics is that there is such a big divide. There really isn't a level playing field even within the same conference.
To me, the biggest problem is You have these separate conferences that all have their own agendas.
That's right.
And you don't have a unifying force to keep them all
correct
going down the same
path. It would be
path.
Like the AFC West having their own agenda and doing
right.
their own thing.
Yes. Yes.
Instead of following the lead of the NFL.
Like you have to scrap and claw because you're in the AL Central.
Right.
And the East is getting all the attention and they're getting all the money and they're doing their own thing.
Well, they kind of are. Baseball's a bad example.
So, yeah, that's kind of what's happening.
That's kind of what's happening.
Kind of, yeah,
you just
the Royals have to work their
baseball.
Ass off of the Yankees.
But conceivably, in baseball, they're all under equal footing.
Go with
right?
the NFL,
okay,
Josh.
Go with the NFL. All right, sorry.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just going to edit that whole thing out of the. I'm going to edit that whole thing out of the podcast.
Let me take a swing.
Be like
first.
In baseball, if the AL East had all the money and the AL Central had to scrap
Wait.
Their.
Yes, bad example. Never mind. But certainly we're under the belief that they're under equal footing, right? That they're all playing under this in the same league and the same rules,
sure.
whatever.
Yeah, there's the ruse of parity.
the colleges just operate on their own. And
there's
then,
no rules.
As we've found, too, even within conferences, we've seen, especially right now, like, if you're not ready, we're bolting without. We're going without you.
In conference, not just conference v. conference.
And I think that's been the biggest detriment, that you have the Big Ten with its agenda. You have the SEC with its agenda, the ACC with its agenda, Big 12 with its agenda, or behind most agendas. And then the Pac-12, which is really just kind of fighting to stay around. If you had some kind of true unifying body, because it should be, right?
Sure.
NCAA feels like it should be the unifying body. It is not.
No.
And that is a problem.
Right.
And is it going to come to a point where those schools are going to say, okay, we have drug along the Macs and the Valleys and the whoever else for an extended period of time. Let's just go.
Why are we spending 3 weeks out of every football season spending, you know, $200,000 to $300,000 to bring Coastal Carolina in for a beatdown? Why are we spending $100,000 a game to bring Iona into Allen Fieldhouse for a beatdown?
Because Iona owns the Mac.
They do. But, you know, schools are going to start to look at that and say, we could be using that money to fund our own stuff, and we could fund our own rowing team and our own softball team instead of paying other schools to come in here and get beat. I mean, you know, how many schools are making their money for the year by getting beat by Alabama in football and beat by Kansas in basketball? A lot of them are doing that.
Jim Chapman, part of the Agent Confidential podcast, via the 435 Podcast Network, 610sports.com, via the radio.com app. You and Jim discuss a number of topics each and every episode of the podcast, but a portion of the latest edition deals with the NCAA, right? Yeah. Is it time for the Power Five to break away? Jim says, yeah.
I think it is time, but the only unfortunate part is that the schools, like the traditional schools like the Macs of the world that have been playing football a long time, produced a lot of great players, Hall of Famers. I mean, I think that they will end up being left in the dark, and they will probably either have to figure it out in FCS or you know, be in low-level Division I where it's you know, I mean, I don't even know if they'll even be shown on TV anymore. So unless ESPN decides to, you know, give them an olive leaf. But, yeah, I think it's time. You know, the money's too big. Like I said, with the likeness, the money's going to be flowing in for players. Schools are going to be using that as recruiting tools. It's the have and have nots.
And there's so many schools, right?
Yeah.
In an NFL or an MLB, 30.
Yeah.
The haves are the considered haves.
The haves are
about
just
64.
Double the 32,
about yeah. 64. And then when you have everybody in, you know, it's like 300-some, right?
Right.
So there's a lot of agendas going on which are difficult to satisfy. And I can't imagine that if you have time, like kind of – I'm not saying you have time right now, but it feels like you have time right now to think about it. You're like looking around going,
what are we doing here?
You're thinking of – so I'd be on the lookout for something big happening.
Yeah, I would be too.
If they can figure out a unified way to do it, which is maybe the biggest hurdle.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you got to find a way to do it unified, because if you do end up as the Big 64 or Big, you know, 80, if you add in Memphis or Central Florida or Houston or some of these other fairly big-time schools, if you add them into the mix, do you take it up to 80? Where's the number go? And then, ultimately, you all have to be on the same page. You can't continue to allow conferences to divide.
You can't.
It has to be one. It has to be unified.
Either you're going
to
operate how you're operating now.
Right.
Or you're going to have a unification.
Right.
A true unification.
And every dollar comes in and every dollar gets dispersed. There's no more Longhorn Network or Oklahoma Network or SEC Network or any of that. Everybody comes together now. Every dollar gets pooled together. And which, everybody is one.
Which may be the ultimate hurdle to it never happening.
Yeah, ultimately could be. Yeah, because the SEC is not going to want to share their money. The Big Ten is not going to want to share their money. And the Pac-12 is going, hey, we'll take your money out here. Look at us. Look at us. Look at us.
This comes from San Diego. Gentleman's been arrested.
Oh, no. Did he steal the chicken?
For heating up his hot pocket.
I want to tell you about a bizarre break-in at a bank in San Diego.
Yes. Order for a hot pocket.
You broke into a bank for a hot pocket.
Hot pocket.
Hot pocket.
Officers were called to a Wells Fargo bank after a burglar alarm had gone off early yesterday morning in San Diego, California. The alarm company told police surveillance cameras inside the branch captured a man in the break room using the microwave. As officers arrested him outside, the man told the news crew that he entered the bank just so he can heat up his hot pocket.
Was it worth it?
Hell yeah, it's worth it. Yeah, it's worth it. A hot pocket? Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hot and pockets.
Breaks into a bank to get into their break room to use their microwave to heat up his hot pocket.
I mean, at least you could have said it was a slice of pizza. Or you were heating up a lean cuisine.
That would have made it better?
Oh, better than the hot pocket. Have you had the butternut squash ravioli from Lean Cuisine?
Shockingly, no. I've not purchased it.
Terrific. Terrific entree.
Definitive no.
Terrific entree. How about the portobello mushroom lean cuisine?
I have no.
Fantastic entree.
Have you ever eaten a Hungry Man dinner?
Panini? No, I have not. But that would have been worth it.
If you broke in for a Hungry Man.
2 pounds of food? You got your chickens. You got your biscuits. You got your mashed potatoes. You got your dessert thing. That would have been yes. Anything but the Hot Pocket.
So
hey, I needed
one
the microwave.
Of those spaghetti kid cuisines.
I needed some. Or what about one of those, like, even the SpaghettiOs and the thing that you hold? You know, here's the other thing. What's even that? If you wanted to make a bag of Orville Redenbachers, that's better than breaking in to heat up a Hot Pocket that doesn't even get heated up the right way.
Hot Pockets.
You don't know
one
what
bite's
that gentleman
hot, one bite's cold. Your mouth is on fire. Your mouth is frozen. It's terrible.
I told you
and
the
you
play
can't get it
is
in the
you
sleeve.
Get it boiling hot and then you let it cool down. Just give
it
a minute.
Yeah, you can't even get it in the
give
sleeve.
Give it a minute.
Bring them up.
You ever try to shove it in the sleeve? It's hard.
Replace them.
That's Hot Pocket. Hell yeah.
So glad we pulled that drop.
That'll do it for us. We're going to go reheat our
hot pockets. Yeah.
Cody and Gold coming away next on 610 Sports Radio.
We're done.
And
talk to you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.